Fly Party Line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Carl.
What's happening, Kat?
Ah, we're back. School's out for summer.
Party time.
Party time. Sci-Fi party time. Woo! Get pumped up.
I got the bubbly right here. I got the bubbly. I'm ready.
Pop open the cork. Well, you know, welcome back. Hopefully, you know, school's out for me. We'll hope to put out episodes with some frequency, maybe weekly. You know, we'll try for that. If not, you know, whatever. Y'all know how we roll on the Sci-Fi Party Line. We get it when we get it. You'll like
forgiving.
It.
The audience is forgiving, right? They're forgiving,
yeah.
Right?
You want us to be slackers, remember? What has happened? We're living in a brand new world. A lot has happened since we last recorded. I mean, to get the freedom of the weight that was the cape off of us.
I'm feeling lighter.
Yeah.
I am with you.
Isn't that it? I mean,
it's a new world. My eyes are brightened. It's suddenly the colors are muted, thankfully.
I mean, I think there were people celebrating in the street in front of the White House. And
yeah, that's right.
Because nobody wanted this show.
I'm thinking even the stars are going, yeah, we're sorry. We're our bad. Our bad. Right, really.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. If you like that show, you know. No, it's. But before we get into that, let's get into some of our voicemails. It's been a while, so these are kind of, you know, old. But guess what? We finally got Carl.
What we got? Who we got?
Finally get a voicemail from Kruger.
Oh, Kruger's back. Kruger's back.
And yeah, so let's play that. See what she has to say, and maybe we'll get on the show at some point in the future.
Slacker Kruger.
Yeah. Pretty much. Nah. That's that Oregon fresh air.
Let's get to claiming nature. It's a Sci-Fi Party Line. We don't deal with nature around here.
We concrete the universe, baby.
pave it like the Death Star.
Hey, Kat. It's Stephanie Kruger, or as Sci-Fi Party Line likes to call me, just Kruger. I could not resist calling in because I just listened to episode 95, and I have to say that Carl is totally crazy, and you're right, and here's why. I don't know why it's even a problem that the preview of the movie didn't live up to Carl's expectations or, like, deceived him or something. I saw that preview. I saw Michelle Rodriguez, and I was like, oh, God, here we go. In fact, I went with my friend, and she and I sat there, and we were expecting to count, like, 8,000 stupid things, one-liners that Michelle Rodriguez was going to say. And we only left there with, like, 6 counted. So I think our target was, like, 15. So that's already a win. The second thing that I want to say is that I'm really, really happy about that movie because it did not have a stupid storyline where you have to go save somebody on the other damn side of the city and, like, risk other people's lives and kill these expendable people that you kind of get interested in, but you know they're going to die because some dumbass has to go save somebody on the other side of the city. So that was the second thing that I really liked about that movie. The third thing, I was really happy about the fact that it didn't suck like I thought it would. I guess that's it for now. It's a really long voicemail. Love Sci-Fi Party Line. Bye!
Woo!
Okay, let's see. Why we go ahead to go back here again?
Well, no, she's talking about Battle Colon, L.A.
I know. Why we got to go back to Battle Colon, L.A.? Okay.
She said you were crazy, and I was right.
I am saying is perhaps some of that naturally, that fresh air was starting to, you know, dilute the perceptions a bit. All I said was, from the previews of Battle Colon, looked like they were storming the beaches of Normandy. You had helicopters, you had a beach invasion, reporters getting bit. The actual movie, dudes eating beans in a hallway. That's all. That was my complaint. I'm not saying I did not like this movie. I told you already. I thought it was great. I'm simply saying that the vistas of destroyed Los Angeles, the beach invasion, meteorites coming in from outer space, and then what we actually had was, man, maybe we can get across town in this bus. Oh, man, let's see if somebody's going to come through the window. Can we get past the backyard pool? That was it. That was it. So that was the only differential. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I was properly prepared because of, what's that shameful movie? Skyline. Yeah, so.
Why would you think there'd be another
because,
Skyline?
Because, man, it looked just like that. Come on. I don't know. Come on, Carl.
All right, all right. So other than that, the Cougar's fine. We cool. We still cool. But
And we have another voicemail. We have a couple of voicemails from Charles, and I'm going to play them in full because he has 2 points that we would like to address. So let's play the first one, and here it is.
Hey, Pat, how you doing? This is Charles calling from the future. I'm listening to your current episode, and I had to stop during the SGU rant. You got to be nice to Carl. Take it easy on him. I'm not paying attention to the show. And then y'all just rip the show a new one. Okay, what you have to understand about SGU is it's a popcorn show. So like a popcorn movie. Enjoy the fun. I suggest getting your computer out, playing some computer games, surfing the web, getting on Twitter while watching the show. Because it'll make better sense. Because if you sit down and analyze every bit and piece of it, it won't make any sense. On that note, Blue Diamond Jr., officer dude, the reason he got back on the ship or got on the ship was from the Aleutian Alliance. They like kidnapped him and they like got through the Stargate and they were taking it over. He brought them along. So that's why he's on there. These last couple of episodes where y'all stopped off in the podcast are actually getting pretty good. We're starting to see more aliens, and they're talking, we're hearing about their alliance and, how they get along, the kind of politics of these alien worlds. We're starting to see other worlds, they're traveling to other worlds, and they're being attacked by, sentinel, bad CGI, leopard creatures.
That was ridiculous.
Not bad. I don't even know what he means.
I do.
Trying to put some effort in these last couple episodes, and unlike everybody else, I'm watching this show because I've sucked in so far. I actually almost gave up on the show, but because of Sci-Fi Party Line talking about it last year, saying, "Oh, it's getting good, and we're enjoying it." And
oh crap!
I got in there, and so I'm hanging out to the bitter end, but not that bad. I'm actually enjoying it. Okay, well, I'll shut up now, and I'll listen to the rest of the show. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
You know what, Charles? I love you, man. But popcorn movie? SGU, what's a popcorn movie is ID4, right? Because it has, it's light, it's fluffy, it's triumphant, you kick ass, it makes sense. I mean, because, you're not going to take a MacBook up to the alien ship and blah, blah, blah. But it makes sense in the realm of that movie. SG1, popcorn show.
Doing right.
Loved it.
Just mowing down stuff with machine guns. Love that. Comedy and machine guns. That's popcorn.
That's it. And they trained us. See, we didn't want that. We wanted something with depth and characters and stuff. But they trained us with SG-1. No. You want explosions. You want quick wit. You want alien Gwauld. And then you're done. And I started to appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And you also want the MacGyver-like twist. Despite the fact MacGyver was the badass in this one, you actually have to have somebody pull things out at the last minute with some magical widget that does something. But that's part of it, too. All that's part of it.
SGU did not have that.
Nope.
SGU, no. You can't turn your brain off because part of turning your brain out off on a sci-fi show is that, they kind of spoon-feed you the plot, and they make it really simple to understand, and it makes sense within the realm of popcorn grease or whatever. But this, they made stories and twisted them in shapes of fashion that you thought they were going to take you to the next level, and they dropped it most of the time. 90% of the time, they dropped a story in a way that just made no sense. And trust me, I don't pay attention. I eat my popcorn when I'm watching this. And it was just not popcorn.
I can't go with you on the boat. Now, see, Charles, why are you going to put me in this awkward situation here? I mean, you start off the phone call saying that I'm right. So already I'm thinking this man's a genius, right? He's right there. Because, you know, Kat is hard on me. I'm a guest.
She treats me real well. I don't
know. Everybody knows that, you know, I just do my little part and Kat just goes off on me for no good reason. So you're right about that. You're right about that. But, yeah, I can't go with you on the popcorn as to you. As Kat says, popcorn implies fun, lightness, not a lot of, you know, really having to think about what's going on, and excitement. That is not how most folks would describe SGU. That's because we do it later, Kat. We're going to talk about it, right? Yeah. We'll go into it more later, yeah. But that's our only complaint, right?
Yeah, no. And Lou Diamond's still... No.
Yeah, we don't know. No. We've seen it to the end.
And what had happened? No, that's too hard. And then he was back for the latest episode or the last episode. I'm not really sure, but I don't know. But Charles has another point to make. So, you know, let's get a double dose of him.
Hit it.
Hey, it's Charles again. Okay. I'm glad Friends is renewed, man. I was worried for a while. And I've been watching. Why'd they go on break? I hate these breaks. That's probably why they're losing people. If they go from break to back, if I'm break to back, if I'm break, people switch channels, people don't know what to do. Wonder Woman. Man, be nice to Wonder Woman. Don't piss on the Wonder Woman until we see an episode. I'm holding back until I see something. The photos have been going around there. Everybody's been talking about. You got to take that little grain of salt. Those are taken, you know, on a set with no backdrop, so there's no context in there, and all the lighting was lousy, at least we say from the picture. And her costume is the current incarnation from the comic books. So that's why they got the funky outfit that doesn't match the Linda Carter outfit. So it looks like they're trying to go with the modern Wonder Woman from the comics these days. You know, Wonder Woman's been around for 50 years or longer. You know, there have been some costume changes over the years. And I agree with you. Why didn't they pick a brunette actress? I mean, come on, there's enough of them out there. Anyway, I'll talk to you later. Back to listening.
Yes, congratulations, Fringe. We glad it's been renewed, worked pretty hard. Then those numbers kind of dropped and scared us at the end with the ratings. But I think we're going to talk about Fringe later on. Maybe not today because I have a guest that wants to talk about Fringe and we're going to work that out. But Wonder Woman, guess what? It was rejected.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You want to know why it was rejected? Because she looked ludicrous. She didn't look the part. She did not look the part. The shots, because I went on a bender. A Wonder Woman. I found every picture I could of her in the costume. I saw YouTube videos, and the YouTube videos to see her in action kind of calmed me down. I was a little excited after that, but to have them actually reject the show, not pick it up at all, I think it was the right move.
Well, I mean, why they chose to go with the modern look for Wonder Woman. Even the fans of the comic book were throwing down that look. They was like, this doesn't make no sense. So it would be like if the people who were trying to remake Hulk were basing it off of the Ang Lee version of The Incredible Hulk and say, yeah, we're going to take off from that instead of, you know, the more recent ones or the lore of the people like in the comic book. You want to pick the one that everyone knows, everyone loves, and go with that. So I don't know what happened there.
You have to be Linda Carter or better, right?
Well, you know, it's hard to beat Linda Carter, but listen,
Think about Kaylin.
Yeah, absolutely.
She could have been Wonder Woman.
Perfect
from
example.
Save the Seeker. She kicks ass. Legend. She's a natural brunette. She looks the part.
Absolutely.
She's thin, gorgeous, beautiful body.
Yep.
I would have loved her.
Yes. Yes, she would have worked. You know, another crazy candidate is Chuck's sister on Chuck.
Yes!
You know, I heard it. She is cute, and I think she could have pulled it off,
she
too.
She could pull it off.
But I mean, but what we're saying is these are not perfect candidates, but they are better than what they chose. I mean, these are just really people out there that could have been doing some stuff, and what the heck happened?
I don't know. This is one time where I agree that you had so much negative press upon that initial image of her that just, I mean, it looked like a really piss-poor Halloween costume. And, you know, you can't pull stuff like that. You can't pull the cape again. You just can't do it.
No, no, no. We don't want to see that.
Okay, Carl, are we talking about the cape and Wonder Woman and stuff like that? Let's go cancellation and renewals.
Like I said, what's been renewed?
Franchise has been renewed, right?
Oh, we cheered for that. Thank you, Fox. Thank you, Fox.
Yes. Please. Good job. Good job. Doctor Who, of course, it's not going anywhere.
Yay. well, but then again, you know, Doctor Who doesn't count because that's a staple of television. It's been on for about 120 years. It's been on 120 years. So I think there's a temporal anomaly that allows Doctor Who to constantly be on at all times throughout history. But that's good.
Yeah. Vampire Diaries renewed.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, just skip over. Just let it ride. Supernatural.
Yay, Supernatural.
Yeah, because that was supposed to be last season. So it's not. And I'm happy.
Supernatural has been going nuts lately. I mean, I am watching that show going, I don't even believe they are doing this kind of stuff.
I can't believe it. It's like the little CW show that could.
Winning, boy. Castiel, you're killing me, man. You're killing me.
I love it, though. It's so interesting. Like, what is he up to? Oh, I love it. Chuck has been renewed.
Yay, okay. I'm gonna give a yay on that.
I don't know. I'm getting worn out on it. But what else has been renewed? Community and Big Bang Theory.
Oh, thank goodness. I mean, but see, those shows, they are inexpensive, and they're little half an hour, little fun things. They're popcorn shows. They're your popcorn shows.
Yeah, they are. And they're
excuse me, they're your kettle corn shows.
Oh, so look at you.
Thank you. Thank you. So a vet would approve.
Yes. Kettle corn.
Yes.
Let's talk about the cancellations. First, let's start with a rest in peace to Elizabeth Sladen. That is Sarah Jane Smith from the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Jane.
Yeah.
Bad. That is some tangible history right there.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Everybody could appreciate what she was doing and how long she'd been around and I was sad to see her go, and I'm a little angry that she had cancer and told no one, and no one knew. She just kind of fell off the face of the earth one day, and everybody had to find out afterwards, which it's a little sad.
Yeah, well, you know, she's been in the public eye for a long time, and you know how the fans would have reacted. I mean, assuming no one had a spontaneous cure for her, I know she would have appreciated the response, but you know, times like that, you want to spend with your family. You want to, you know, you want to.
Yeah, that's it's true, but it's still shocking for, you know, the folks that loved her.
Yeah.
Maybe we wanted to, I don't know, maybe other people, I guess only her family really needs to be prepared. But, you know, you have a world full of an international audience of people that love you. You could have, I don't know. But, you know, she's gone. She's resting. She's not suffering anymore. So I'm glad for that. But I really hated to see her go because I enjoyed the show.
Too bad, Sarah Jane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That show, they're not going to continue with it. They're not going to do any weird finagling to try to keep it on or anything like that.
And that's respectful. I would not have wanted to see any recasting or I don't even know what they could have done with that.
I was thinking maybe they could have went and made her some sort of honorary time lady and maybe continued it that way. But, you know, that would have been hard and weird. And her son on the show is going off to college in real life. So he had to back away from shooting. So it's time.
Yeah.
It's time. So, other cancellations, not as sad. Stargate Universe is gone.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that extensively in a second. Let's see what else is gone. Shit My Dad Says is gone.
What? That was still on?
I watched, but it was a good show.
I watched like two of them. I was not.
Yeah,
a fan.
It didn't get good until like maybe the fifth episode. Then it really started to get a little funny, but took too long.
Sorry, Shatner.
Yeah, of course. We cheered that the cape is gone. That painful, miserable show.
Yeah, you see how you're having trouble even using the term show to describe it? We're done with the cape. We don't know what it is.
V is gone.
Now, you know, we saw it coming, but it's really heartbreaking when it happens right as the show is starting to get better. See, V was good, then it's kind of, then it started getting good again, and then canceled.
They were messing around with that show, the scheduling, the hiatus, that crap. It just, it was tiresome, and nobody could really get into it, and it was weird, some episodes, and not like you said, so, ugh. No Ordinary Family.
Oh, that's, I blame you, Kat. That's
what?
You. That's
How all you I watched you. It religiously every week.
No. I told you because you got me all excited about it. Clearly, it was going to be canceled. That's on you. So, wait, we got
you
that.
Know, you know what? I don't appreciate this. You know, I don't have to work like this. I think it was a decent show. I really liked it.
Yes, it was fun. It was a fun show.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't promote it enough. Maybe big networks aren't the place for shows like this to grow. You know, I'm not really sure. Of course, Smallville is gone. And because it's, you know, it's had its end. I think it was at 10 seasons for Smallville.
Yeah, well, shoot, that's a life right there. I mean, we've gone through transitions in history and schools and marriages and all kinds of other stuff during the
children have been born now in high school.
that was a solid run for good old Smallville. It had good times, it had some not so good times, but I was there with it the whole time. That was good.
And my favorite cancellation to date has to be The Event.
Oh, that mess was just... I don't like derivative stuff. I don't like derivatives. I don't like seeing stuff that we'd seen before. And The Event, and I've heard rumors that it was getting good towards the end, but the problem
Who
is...
Said that?
People have been telling me. The problem is if you are just blending other shows together to create stuff, I'm tired of that. Nobody wants to see that anymore. We want to see something really unique and really new. Does anybody even know what The Event was? Seriously, what was
the... Oh, like the actual event?
The actual event that they were referring to?
I don't know.
I don't know. So, yeah. Sorry, guys.
I just decided I didn't care.
It had a great cast. I just wish that it had been better context, better constructed. I don't know. Sorry, Vent.
Yeah. You sucked. I don't care. Okay, so we're going to get into, speaking of, what do you want to go to first? I mean, because I think today we're going to talk about Smallville, Stargate Universe, and Supernatural. So I think if we want to talk, you want to go negative first and then end on positive or what?
Yeah, let's get SGU out of the way.
SGU. Stargate Universe. This is for you, Charles. All of you, the Charleses that, you know, it's like everybody who listens to this show is named Charles.
Yes.
We got three of them. Hal, Charles voicemail, Charles from Cadenhead. Yes. Shout out. Woo! Okay, anyway. Stargate Universe. We were going to have the Borg, Jeff, on here, but he was busy, so he can't defend his precious show. There were two episodes in there that I really, really enjoyed, and it was when the group of aliens or humans that they ran into, they were descendants of the Destiny crew. Mm-hmm. And it was a two-parter.
Yeah.
That felt really good. That was a really well-written show. It was the two episodes, and it was constructed well. It had a beginning and an ending, and it was just, it felt like some writer from Star Trek wrote it. It felt very Star Trek. It had a good feeling at the end. And I was like, this is the show that I've always wanted with Stargate Universe. It didn't have to be like SGU, but it needed to be good and need to touch you in your soul in a place if it was going to be deep like that. And they, not until those two episodes, you know, they didn't pull it off until then.
I'm going to give them that because it was the one of the only shows that worked that actually matched or maintained the vision of SGU. Okay, so as much as I've dogged it, as much trouble as I've given them, it didn't have aliens in it. They ran around on the planet for most of the time.
Yeah.
And all of the stuff that I dog about SGU, they held true to their guns in those two. No aliens, you know, not a whole lot of special effects going on. And yet they still managed to make an interesting episode. You started to feel a little something for the crew.
Yeah.
Finally. You know, it took their descendants and who they were going to be in the future to bring enough life to the characters in the crew on board that you really started to feel a little something finally. So yeah, that was a great one, but you know, hey, we waited what, 2 years for that? 2 years, you know, we've been through wisps of dust, we've been through, you know, landing on a planet and doing soil samples. We went through what was that mess? Those cougar dinosaurs? I mean, come on.
What are you talking about? Even okay. though what?
You may have missed this one.
No, I've seen them all. I probably just don't.
Don't you remember the one where they went to the planet and it was being overrun by the jaguar dinosaur things?
Oh my God! Did they get stuck in a cage?
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. And they had to feed them a milk bone in peace at the end or something. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't.
So anyway, you know, so that one I will absolutely give them credit.
Those were called Common Descent Part 1 and Epilogue Part 2. I just want to be sure that people knew which two episodes we were talking about.
That's right. You can. Those are the only ones, really.
Yeah.
The other one, you know, that was kind of interesting is which one was it? Is this part of the same one? Where's the one where they landed on the planet trying to get the resources and they were being chased around by the Sentinel, the Borg ship things?
That had to be Blockade.
Blockade. Okay, now see, listen. Blockade is, Blockade was Atlantis, is what it was.
Yeah.
That episode was Atlantis. Now, and the reason I'm saying I liked it is because you want to talk popcorn. That was bordering on popcorn. Unfortunately, it still had all this weight of what had been SGU and the interpersonal dynamics and what's going on with then, you know, disease issues and all that other stuff. But at least there was, you know, shoot 'em up, mess chasing you down the street, that kind of, oh, I can't believe that fool turned on the Stargate. That kind of fun was okay, but that was not what we expect from SGU. Again, these few episodes that started to get watchable to me were violating what had been the frame they had set up for SGU all along. So the ones that started getting good, they had aliens, they had space battles, they had all of this other stuff.
They were good. They didn't make any sense, but
they didn't have to. At least they had, you know, seriously, I'm telling you, if just give me some of the basics. So you know, but like I said, there wasn't enough of that. There wasn't many of those. And so, you know, like I said, the ones you picked are probably the best out of the whole series. And you want to talk about the finale?
Let me have a few more comments here. What was the guy's name? I was trying to think of his name the whole time I was stuttering there. Ronald Greer. I think he had the biggest growth.
Well, yeah.
Because he had somebody's kidney. So, or
yeah,
or something. I don't know. So, I mean, you saw his character grow from grumpy guy who, you know, was alienated and he was angry black man that, you know, stereotypical whatever. And he grew into somebody that was just, I mean, you give somebody a kidney?
Yeah, it was kidney.
Yeah, it's kidney. You do that and nobody can say anything about you anymore, really.
I'm going to say something about it. Here's the problem. Here is the
problem. Can I have my moment?
Oh, I'm sorry, please.
Okay. No, I'm throwing my moment.
That was your moment. All right. Now let me see this.
Moment.
When you look at the different characters, you can say, yeah, he had the most growth, but that's because everybody else stayed about the same during this whole episode, the whole series here. I still think that his quote growth was forced. You know, I think it was kind of formulaic and still kind of forced. I'll admit,
he chops off his hair or something. I mean,
his eyebrows, his luxurious eyebrows. Yeah. That's what it is. There's
his unibrow.
That's like I said, everything that was happening with SGU in terms of what was supposed to be connecting us with the characters always seemed rushed and always seemed kind of forced. And his quote growth occurred over like maybe 2.5 episodes.
Yeah, it did.
years. And you know, something had to be taken out of them for that to happen. And it was just...
Okay, well, I was manipulated then.
And that's how I feel. That's how I feel. I mean, so I just feel like... They tried with Greer, and I will admit, yes, that he, out of all the other characters, it seemed like he had the most growth, but they went so far with him from the beginning in terms of, you know, military, you know, he seemed like a caricature from the start. So any depth that you added to him suddenly, you know, made it seem like he was being very, you know, new and changing. But dang, that was, like I said, it was 2.5 episodes that happened. Well, I mean, we've been watching it for 2 years.
Now that I thought about it, it is. Okay, well, who's the most growth non-rushed for you?
What? Well, that implies growth. I didn't see much.
Nobody growth. Had growth for you?
No, not really. Not really.
See. Young, he was kind of, you know, nobody respected him at the beginning, and then they kind of did.
No, that took like 9 generations before they figured it out. I mean, they came.
So that's a little bit of growth, yeah?
Well, no, because that's what I'm saying. That growth came in, you know, flashbacks from a future in an episode. Okay, let me ask you this, sir. Maybe I'm just being too hard. Before the lineage episodes, you know, we were talking about his descendants, did you see that respect for him developing?
Yeah, because everybody followed what, you know, the hell he was going to do. I mean, he was the leader. They respected him. And Ming-Na's character quit fighting with him, like, somewhere along the way, and they became, you know, allies. And he was just always, I don't know, he felt like a captain. Like, after he killed that one guy, which they reminded us every episode that he, oh, I smothered a dude. No, you're a good captain. And it's like, okay, we get it. So, I don't know, maybe that suggestion made me thought he had growth, but I don't know. Chloe did not have growth. She had evolution.
Yeah, again, sort of an external, massively external thing. And then when she, quote, got better, it's like it wasn't that
made
she
no
had
sense.
Grown or that she had learned anything from it. It was like she was an even more watered down. Before it happened, we kind of saw her as this sort of wide-eyed, innocent kind of, senator's daughter kind of thing. Oh, we'll be home soon. Then she got all alien crazy. And then after that, it was like nothing.
Oh yeah, let me check your calculations. It's like, oh, you're a secretary now? I mean,
the forced change that they inflicted on her was beginning to get interesting, and then they took it away, and then what was left was even less interesting than who she was before. So, you know, we lost her, and, you know, Rush was still, you know, I like Rush and Eli. From the beginning, they were my favorite two characters, but they were exactly the same throughout these. Even Eli said it. Remember at the end of the episode, when did they say something like, you know, and Rush is still pretty much Rush, you know, just before they got in the freeze chamber. Well, that's how, seriously, Rush is still pretty much Rush. Only thing that I really felt changed about Eli is he was no longer so girl crazy, possibly because he had another girlfriend, and that kind of, you know, broke the spell a little with our dear Eli. But other than that, he seemed a little more competent, which, of course, he told us in the final episode, I now have grown because I feel more competent, and the people around me in the last 8 minutes of the series are going to shake my hand and say that you are now competent, and now I'm going to stand alone on the bridge.
That transitions us into that finale.
Yeah,
how did you feel about that, Carl?
No. I'm watching it, and I'm trying to hang on there out of respect. And at the time that I have invested into SGU, I truly believe that many of these shows that are getting canceled have this arc where right towards the end, they get really good. You know, when they know they're canceled, they're burning the sets.
And Caprica, V, yeah.
I mean, it's just a history. We know this. It ramps up right at the end, and it leaves on a high mark where you're going, I feel bad about dogging it. I can't believe I wasn't a bigger supporter of it. I was wrong. And you know what? I was looking forward
Such
to saying.
Such is not the case here.
Hell no. Hell no, man. I'm watching this, and I'm sitting here going, this is because with the what do we call them, the two part, is that, you know, with the I keep calling them the lineage episodes, but you know, the ones with the descendants and all of that.
You
that,
mean names, or what do you what?
I mean, what are the name of the episodes?
The names of them were Common Descent Part One and Epilogue Part Two.
Okay,
so they Epilogue didn't have the same names. They were just, you
know. Okay. Those two episodes really were starting to show what you could do within the very limited confined space that SGU had defined for itself.
That's Robert C. Cooper, though.
So I'm watching this
thing throughout the whole thing. Well, he wrote a couple of them. Everyone that he wrote, they were some good shit.
Well, shoot, we need to wake up if he wants to stay on and keep need to be writing some more. But so I'm thinking, okay, well, wow. After that, I'm looking forward to the finale. They're gonna blow the, you know, the doors off. I'm really gonna feel something when I watch this finale. Let's do this. And what we saw felt like season one, SGU. I mean, nothing was resolved again. I mean, dang, even the issue with Eli. I understand it kind of leaving things on a cliffhanger or whatever, you know, quote cliffhanger. But even that they left us hanging on. And the whole episode was sort of like, well, we've been through a lot together. And I'm, you know, I don't know what the future holds for us, but we're going to do this together. And that's it. That's what the whole episode was. What? Well, who have you become in the meantime? What's going to happen with the ship? What have you done with the mission? Are we fulfilling what we had set out to do? All that stuff. You know, all of that stuff's just kind of just laying there. And it just felt incomplete in a way where, look, if you know things are going to end, give me some kind of bow, try and wrap up something, or go out on a popcorn bang where I'll say, oh, you know, this could have been so much more. It was literally like they were closing the book the entire final episode.
Let's start with the episode before that when they were running around on the planet. My whole thinking throughout that entire episode is like, you have one episode left and we're doing a filler episode. What happened to the people on board that were your descendants? I mean, because we had this real heartfelt episode. They introduced these people in this story and this idea that the people aboard SGU, they had the suggestion that they are, what do they call them? The original people, or what?
Right.
What do they call them? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. They call them something else, but the ascended, or I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
The descendants. I mean, the whatever. Yeah, well, I know.
The main people, whatever. Right. You are the old ones, or whatever they've been calling them throughout the SGU whole universe. I mean, the Stargate universe itself. But these people, we get connected in with this episode in a way that we've never been connected to SGU ever before. And these people are dropped off screen. They made a mention. Oh yeah, we got rid of them. We don't know what happened to them. We don't know anything about that. And then we're back on another, you just filler episode.
Another mission off into space. What happened to our team? What's going on?
Yeah, they have the drones that are following. We never get to understand who set the drones up. What are their purpose? They're just some dumb enemy to run from and create, you know, faux action and faux intensity for no reason at all. And I don't understand why we're watching that. Then you get to this gauntlet, the last episode, and we're, you know, like you said, I totally agree, which is running around doing a whole lot of nothing. We're running away from these drones, which we don't understand why we have to go through the Borg corridor, because USS Voyager can't make it through Borg space without getting through the, and I'm like, you know what? What have we done here?
Yeah.
What is this madness?
We're literally going to sleep is our finale. We are, the entire crew is going to take a nap. End. That's how the series ends.
I don't even know. What is that? No. I wanted to like this one really bad. And I think the reason why I didn't like it, because personally me, I like Sanctuary and I can't figure out why. I like Sanctuary because it didn't say that we're Stargate Sanctuary. It was just its own little show and it does its own little thing. I fully believe that if this Stargate universe show was not connected to the Stargate property, that it would have been a better show.
Well, there would have been less rage associated with it, but as I'm always saying, the world that they created and the scenarios that they created for what SG was supposed to be, I didn't think was that interesting. I mean, they kept cutting the edges off of a space of a lot of possibilities, and they tried to make it like a space soap opera, but even less than that. And even if it didn't have the Stargate name associated with it, which was the first strike against it, mm-hmm. it still seems too limited for what they were trying to do. I don't know. So yeah.
The Ancients, that's what they, because thought, I mean, did you get the feeling that the SGU team were supposed to be the Ancients, and it was some weird roundabout way of how the whole Stargate universe is not the show, but the whole universe, it's a weird roundabout way of saying that's how the whole place got populated with humans and why everybody speak English. And I mean, were you going that far with your imagination with those people and the lineage and stuff, or did you just stop with that?
Wait, when you say, was I going that far?
Well, because, you know, the Ancients are the Ancients. And to me, it suggested that the SGU team aboard Destiny were supposed to be the Ancients.
Yeah, yeah. You're talking about the actual descendants of the people of all of the world. What were the two worlds? Futura. And what was the other one?
Novus.
Nova since future. Well, yeah, I got that. I got that.
Did it make sense? Because to me, that's exciting that all this time everybody has been looking for the Ancients, and we are the Ancients the whole time. And they just kind of, you know.
Well, wait. No, which Ancients? Because I believe it is their Ancients, but not the ones that built, you know, the Stargates and all of this.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
No, I don't believe it was those Ancients. No.
So you don't believe that the whole of mankind in some weird time warp, whatever, that somehow we got to a place to where we were the Ancients that build the universe, but we somehow lost that. That wasn't the thing that was running through your brain.
No.
Okay, so somehow, for some reason, I got that.
No, because they weren't that ancient. I mean, remember, I wasn't getting that, because there would have been some hint that somehow the signature of humanity would have been in the Stargate technology and all of that, which, I'm not going that far back.
I just wanted to see if anybody else felt that way about what they were trying to say with these two episodes, but I overthought that. But yeah, one of the planets was a font name, which I totally... Like, why would you do that? Because that's when I first saw the titles of the planets. I was like, oh, God. You know, let's just be thankful they didn't name it Comic Sans.
That's funny. There's Wingdings. I come from Wingdings. No one understands what we say.
Yeah. So, that show, to me, I really wanted to like it. And I resent people who do like this show try to, you know, put it off on people who really picked it apart and wanted to like it. You know, they make us feel bad for asking the hard questions about the show.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate that, because, you know, you can't treat these people, you know, like they're gods. If you have a question about something, you know, no question is stupid. And if they don't have an answer, or they didn't think, you know, that far to, you know, wrap a story around something logical, then, you know, don't blame me for asking and pointing it out. I'm not trying to be mean by asking these questions. I just really like, wow, why doesn't that make sense? Because it seemed like it would have been really easy to do.
I believe everybody is entitled to their opinion, and I have been hard on this show from the start. But I think I've been fair, because
I believe
people come after me and say, well, you can't define all of what science fiction is supposed to be. But I mean, the whole concept of a genre, when you say science fiction, there are certain things that have got to be a part of it in order for it to fit the genre. And from the start with SGU, it's like they started on the farthest possible fringes of the genre and tried to somehow, you know, with a little teeny dirt path road, try to link it into the core of what science fiction was about. And every time, it's not even, I'm willing to go with you. I'm willing to meet you out there if you're going to show me something new, if you're going to show me something innovative, if you're going to take me to places I haven't seen before. we had seen all this stuff before. They kept forcing the genre into places that did not feel right. It was rushed in terms of its execution. All of the pieces look good, but then what finally resulted was just kind of disappointing. And I don't know. I still don't get the passion that some folks have for the series, because it just feels incomplete in a lot of ways.
And it feels like loyalty rather than, you know, critical thinking and actual looking at the show. Because you can literally turn your brain off on SG-1, right, and truly enjoy it. And it made sense in a way that was sense for the Stargate.
Comedy, explosions, yeah. Machine guns, aliens, and rockets.
Yeah,
come on.
I didn't care if they spoke English on every. I didn't care that every planet looked like Vancouver. I did not care.
Nope.
I actually cared about the characters, and they grew in a way that made sense.
It is.
And you know,
even O'Neill.
Right? And Atlantis, it kind of bored me a little bit, but I really liked it. And I really, you know, I watched all of it and I thought it had its ups and downs, but I appreciate it. Stargate Universe, I just don't know what they were doing. I try really hard to watch it, and I deserve some credit for giving it a chance. And I think you do, Carl. Did you read the open letter to Stargate fans from Sci-Fi via Craig Engler?
No, I didn't.
Had a really long blog post that he did, and he kind of explained the cancellation, and he went into great detail. I'm sending you the link now. Okay. And I'll have the link in the show notes. But he went over some things, and he admitted that the erratic scheduling killed it. He admitted that the hiatus killed it. He addressed SGU being on Friday nights, and it's moving. And they said they're moving around. Being on Friday, they were losing numbers, so they tried to move it and put it someplace else. They addressed sci-fi not liking science fiction, wrestling. Craig just covered a lot of ground here on this, and it had a edge of defensiveness, but it was actually pretty sincere, and he backed it up with numbers and stuff like that. So I think it was a very thoughtful post. We haven't seen anything like this for any other show that was in, you know, great detail and intelligent about the, you know, making the sausage of this particular show.
I'm looking at what he's written right here, and for the most part, I actually agree with the bullet points. But the things that he's talking about really are the frame around SGU. It's stupid to be moving shows around all the time. That's going to kill, and we've seen that all around. You and I, we've talked about this with our series. Don't do that. But okay, yeah. These hiatuses, yes, that is also a problem. But see, all of this stuff he's talking about is the outside, the framework. You know, he's not addressing what the concept behind the show was. He's not really talking about what's going on. I'm not going to say that they didn't support SGU as a series, really, because, well, it was like the only science fiction they had. So I think that they tried.
They have Haven.
Okay.
See, sorry, Daryl. Sorry, Daryl.
We just did that. But, you know, all of this stuff they're talking about, as fans of sci-fi, we expect this kind of insanity. Seriously, you know, the schedule changes, the hiatuses, you know, the canceling, the reason, the different nights. We're used to that kind of mess. All the things that I'm talking about are within the show, are within, you know, the story, within the conception of the show is. So his points are legit, but you could make the same argument about any other decent sci-fi program that's on television, right? Well, that was on television, has got these exact same issues as being a part of why it kills it. But in my opinion, that's part of the excuse that the people who are putting these shows on or are canceling these shows are using to defend what's missing from the core of what the program actually is. You know, it's easy to say, well, yeah, because we switched the times around, the show got, you know, lost viewers, as opposed to saying, look, the story and the concepts underlying what this is was in some way missing something or was some way different than what people were expecting. To say that the show was lost or canceled because we moved the time around is very different from talking about the spirit of what the show was about, the expectations of the fans who are watching it. That's a totally different thing. And those things aren't addressed from what I see in this letter here.
Oh, well, you know, you can't do everything. I know these networks aren't perfect. I mean, most of our complaints have been about the show itself, like you're saying.
Yeah.
It's gone. Yep. So I don't know.
And we feel bad about it. We do feel bad about it because, you know, look, the components of it were really beautiful. We could see that there was a quality to Stargate Universe that really we hadn't seen in a lot of modern science fiction in terms of the sets, in terms of, you know, what they were trying to do with it. But it just didn't feel, when it came together in the end, it didn't deliver a complete vision, in my opinion.
You know what it lacked? Lacked a soul. It lacked a soul. Let's go on that one.
I will take that.
It lacked passion. Yeah. But I'm sad to see it go, like you said.
In three more years, it would have been great. At this pace, in 3 years, SGU would have been rocking. I'm telling you.
That's true. You know, they don't do shows like that anymore where you got like 10 years to make it work. Rest in peace, Stargate Universe. Send your emails to Carl. He'll do that.
Wait a minute. What's the last part?
Okay, speaking of. Supernatural is not ending right now. We thought this was going to be the last season, but it's not the last season. It got renewed, thank goodness, because it just wasn't done.
No.
This show. And the things that's been going on so far this season, wow.
I am telling you, this stuff is nuts. Like I said, I am mostly a technology, you know, science fiction kind of person. So I told you also it was the male bonding, it was all the cutting up between the characters that really drew me into Supernatural. But the other thing I thought was interesting is they have a consistent, interesting alternate world of the spiritual that I like. I always talk about consistency in science fiction. If you're going to build a world that's believable and play around in that, right?
Yeah.
They have done the same thing with Supernatural, where they have created this amazing, rich, alternate space of demons and angels and a quote, you know, absent God, you know, and all of that stuff. And there are little nooks and crannies of that have been revealed to us in a coherent way that, you know, it's really interesting. Well, do the angels have free will? Where's God in all of this? What's up with the demons? And all of this stuff that they have, the space that they've created is really, really exciting. And it leaves me wondering, ooh, what's going to happen next? Or, ooh, what's happening now? Or, where did that come from? Really, really compelling.
And the comedic timing on this show.
Of everybody. Everybody is hilarious. The bad guys are funny. The good guys are funny. The deadpan angels are funny. Everybody is great, man. It's great. Oh.
The latest development with Castiel being, I don't know if he's being a bad guy, but he has gone rogue and there's a difference of opinions as to how to handle what's going on right now. And he's kind of going off on his own. It was really the latest episode that was all about Castiel, Man Who Would Be King, I think that was it. Or was it Let It Bleed? I'm not really sure. One of those two episodes. No. That's going to be Man Who Would Be King. And that is the Castiel episode. At the end, it was just kind of funny to me that he was looking for a sign from God to tell him what to do.
Oh, yeah.
And the sign was there the whole time, which was Dean telling him not to do it.
Yep. Yes.
It was blatant. He just...
pondering the moral dilemmas of angels. That's what I'm talking about, right? And that's when you got some good programming on. And you're sitting there going, man, this is tough. This is tough stuff. And just watching it, you know, literally, we're watching the fall of an angel here. Him cutting deals and killing off folks. And it's just, it's heartbreaking because most folks really like Castiel. He has always been a fun, kind of innocent Very powerful all this time, and then to see him having such a hard time and seeing him morally slide like this and seeing him turn his back on his boys, and it's just oh man, this is the emotional connection we're talking about. This is the depth that we're talking about.
They build on each episode. Nothing is really dropped.
No
or
bottom.
If it's dropped and it just it if it's dropped, it really doesn't make sense and we don't need it.
Or right? If it's dropped, they'll come back and crack on it like a season later that it's been dropped. I mean, it's very, very well done what they're doing here. So, So, I'm so glad they're coming back. Yay, guys.
So I haven't heard any rumors or anything about anything, but I know that the next is going to be a 2-hour event, May 20th, the season finale. And the episodes consist of Let It Bleed and The Man Who Knew Too Much. And we'll talk about that finale. And, you know, I might talk about it with Hanako because she loves these guys, too. And we'll have a whole big family affair there.
Nice.
Yeah. And let's end off the show with Smallville.
Somebody save me.
Somebody. No.
Smallville is
what a old. Great run.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in places.
Good and bad. Good and bad.
What's the good and bad?
Because there were a couple of them seasons in there where I was like, oh, come on.
But you know what? They made up for it for the past couple of, I guess, seasons because I've been watching it religiously.
Yeah.
So here's a you know, show that was kind of good when it first came out, had real big lows, and then brought it out. Of course, they had 10 seasons to do that, but didn't get canceled. But
and it was fun because they reinvented the series about halfway through. I mean, if any of the crew remembers, it started out being Super Dawson's Creek. That's what it was. Back in the day, it had that same kind of silliness. And in the beginning, I was worried about it because it felt like it was heading to be teenage Lois and Clark, which was, you know, the superhero. I mean, the villains were not that dangerous. There was a lot of angst, emotional angst in it, and it felt a little small, no pun intended, in the beginning. I was like, come on. But the pilot, I enjoyed the pilot. I could tell that it was well done right out the gate. The casting was great. I mean, come on, John Schneider and Annette O'Toole, right there. It was, they were a perfect
Tom
mom
Welling, dad. He was hot 10 years ago.
he was, and you know, everybody.
Okay, he makes a good Superman. Come
he
on.
Does. No, absolutely. He was good. He was good. And everybody just loves Lana. So I mean, that right out the gate.
Let me tell you. Wow, that was the most painful part of the show.
Listen, I kind of like Lana, especially
course,
in the beginning.
Of course, she was cute. Of course,
she was cute, and I always loved her voice. Lana had a rocking
actually, as
voice.
An actress, I love her. As an actress, but yeah. As Lana.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. She had the worst trap of a role, which is the constant, always just missing what's happened, and then nobody can tell her about it. She had to do that for like 6 solid years. 6 solid years. So there's not a lot. That trap is death for so many characters. And that was unfortunate for her. I'm not going to say she's a bad actress. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, I don't think she is.
I just think, you know, there can only be so many times where there's the will they won't they get together dynamic that people can tolerate for about 2 years before it just gets to be unbearable.
Yeah.
And then there's the, you know, how stupid is she element. if you have to play this part, which she, you know, she's that's her role, you know, for her to constantly get and be knocked out just before Clark pulls out his super ability, or, you know, for her to pass out just before, you know, he saves her from the tornado. The people get really, really tired of that. So,
yes, I do.
To her credit, she held on as long as she possibly could. And then they had to bring in Super Lois to do the exact same stuff.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah, but they only. But for her, you know, since she was a little bit stronger and a little more naturally intuitive as being Lois, she had to get to the bottom of the truth. You know, things came out for her, and she found out the truth a lot sooner than any historical Lois has during the series. I mean, seriously, our Lois in Smallville is the one going, you know what? I'm thinking you need some glasses and a suit. I mean, that, the complete inverse of everything that we have seen in the past with Lois's in superhero lore. So, So it started with Dawson's Creek, and then it went off the rails for a while.
It went to, like, total CW Saturday night crap.
When we lost Lex, in my opinion, really, that's when things really started getting shady. Because Rosenbaum, he was awesome. I have always liked him as Lex and as his character and as being a foil for Clark in this. He just always seemed like he played Lex so well, and it seemed like he was having a good time being the bad guy and the will they won't they between Clark and Lex. You know, are they gonna be buddies? Oh, maybe they can find a way to work things out. Oh, and he steals his girlfriend. What's up with that?
Good times.
His girl and married her, stole it, you know, but it was his dad.
Impregnated her.
Oh my God. You know, that was fun. That was good times. Good times. But they kind of lost it for a while there once Rosenbaum left, because they didn't have a good solid bad guy, and it was getting to be cartoon bad guy of the week, and they were doing some interesting things with the characters, they were trying stuff out, so there was this lull period in the middle. But then when they started to try to get super again, there came a point where Smallville said, okay, look, we're gonna take it to the city, and we're gonna get a little bit more action based. And each of these incarnations felt like a really different series. You know, the Dawson's Creek to the middle era. Then when they went to the city, each of those steps really felt like a change in what was going on. And, you know, they had different producers. The show was going in different directions. You could feel it in the show.
When they did that movie, that's when it started.
Yeah.
That TV movie. They was like, you know what? We're going to pull it out. Well, and that's then ever since that movie, it's been, yeah.
That's when they really started focusing more on the superhero-ness of it. Because, again, before that, what I actually liked about early Smallville was the subtle hinting of all of the elements that were to be. You know, just right down to Clark wearing the red and the blue. Mm-hmm. Just a little, it was smooth and it was smart how they hinted at it the whole time, and it was very well done. You know, the characters didn't come out with crazy costumes on. They would always have, you know, the green and the yellow jacket on, or, you know, it would just be some little hint that we would know who these people were going to be in the future, and that was fun to see that done that way.
I wish they would have went this route with Wonder Woman, because the full-on costume doesn't work.
Oh, listen.
It would not have worked.
It would have worked if they picked a decent costume. And
yeah, but then, you know, all of the superhero shows of late, nobody's worn the costume. So, what? Yeah. Yeah, or Heroes, or, you know, anything like that. And
what was
I've
fun
grown
with
to.
Heroes? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the first season. And I appreciated that. So to see them pull out a character with a costume, and her, she, you know, you just, I don't know, you can't get away with that type of stuff these days, because they've, you know, taken that away from us, and
when Smallville came out with the TV movie that you're talking about, and they came out with those crazy big bold costumes. At first I was a little put off by the scope or the boldness of them, but the fact that they actually had an action component attached to it. But they really did something interesting. They really showed some problems with the heroes and battling, you know, infighting among the crew. It was interesting, and it was bold, and it was starting to really get super. So I didn't mind, and I was willing to go with him right until the end with that. So that was good.
Smallville had such a long run that it's an interesting twist on the show to see him being that bold. So I don't think I had a problem with it. Yeah, I am a costume person. I do like it, but you got to do it right.
Yep.
And you got to lead up to it. And, you know, maybe Wonder Woman should have led up to it. It should have been built up. But, you know, my God, the costuming that they did on this, that person, whoever that is, should not be in business.
Oh, you're talking about Wonder Woman. I'm sorry. I was cheering.
Wonder Woman. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Wonder Woman. But
yeah,
that was just a horror.
Let's see.
A horror show. Yeah, it's a freak show.
Back to Smallville.
Smallville. But they led up to it. It was so triumphant, and it was hero, and you felt it.
Mm-hmm.
This whole time. I mean, with the ending, seeing him actually get in the suit, Daddy, what's his name? The dad?
Oh, Jor-El.
No, the other dad.
What? Oh, yeah.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Right, yeah, John Snyder.
Snyder, yes, that's his. Yeah, I was so happy that he was there because, you know, we didn't get Michael's Ironside. He wasn't there, which, you know, nobody cared about that but me.
Yeah, you're the only one that was missing Ironside, really.
Lana didn't come back, which I thought was a great move.
That was sad. Come on.
It's a good move. It's a good move on their part.
Even if she was just sort of like at the back of the church with a little sniffle and then walks away, because, you know, she's, you know, glowing with kryptonite, just walked away. That would have been fine just to get the gang back together.
No. I don't think they made the right move on this one.
Well, okay.
I was disappointed not to see Aquaman and Cyber Guy.
Okay,
and
listen. I have a complaint with the finale.
Oh.
I have a complaint with the finale.
Ooh.
Yes.
Get your popcorn.
Yeah. Here's my beef. I got all the emotional connections of what they were doing. It was clearly, you know, hey, we've been doing this for a while. Everybody gets a chance to say goodbye. You know, let's do this. But here's my beef. The entire final season of Smallville has been so exciting and so great for many of the reasons that we talked about. With the introduction of all of the heroes, and I mean, think about Waller coming in, you know, Pam Grier, Waller,
oh,
and all,
yeah.
Each of those episodes, we were bringing in and emboldening each of the heroes that we know were going to be the Justice League. We have built what the Cadmus Project was going to be in terms of them, you know, getting bolder and getting stronger, and, you know, how that's going to be. All the bad guys have been getting bolder and getting stronger. And so, again, you know, it's just my crazy expectations again, and I have unreasonable expectations. But look, the whole season before this finale has been action-based, has been really excitement in terms of bringing out all of these heroes. I really, really thought that we were going to see the birth of the Justice League and the Legion of Doom or Cadmus in some big crescendo, some kind of a big, even with Lex coming back. I thought,
what
we were
did
going
he even
to,
do?
Yeah, listen, that's my beef. So I said, well, Lex is coming back, and everybody. All right, the whole last two seasons has been this improvement of increase in the action component of what Smallville has been. So I'm going, all right, they are going to blow us out with this finale. I knew with the wedding coming on, I knew the wedding wasn't going to happen. I knew there was going to be some complication. I figured one of the 2 hours of the finale was going to be the wedding. So I was like, okay, I know this is coming. But then, you know, you got Darkseid come. Literally, you have a hell eclipse hurtling towards the planet Earth. I am ready for, you know, this is the big crescendo that we've been looking for the whole series. And what we got?
Dawson Creek. It went back to the original.
Oh, I was not so happy.
Oh, come on, Carl.
Come on, don't start me, Kat. Now I'm gonna tell you, I love these guys. I love this series. I love these guys. I love the series, and I appreciated again them getting back to the quote subtlety of what the series began with. But come on, all of the potential that they had built up to you know, in terms of all of the heroes that we'd had, I was like, come on, if you're bringing Lex back, you're bringing Lex, you said you hit it on the nail. What did he do? Lex showed up. I said, all right, it's going to be on. Then we had, you know, Mercer come in there, swipe his face,
and then we lost Lex. That he did. He wasn't even in the end of the episode. His Luther Corp fell off the building, and then he just said, "Wow, where have I been?" Closed. That was it. That's all we saw. The dark side hell planet hurtling towards planet Earth. Ed, the entire world.
The physics is, on that, man. That
the
I
entire
just...
world is waiting for Superman to come and save them. The people of Earth looked up. Their little hell omegas disappeared. He pushed the planet out of the orbit. And
was the whole
closed.
Planet solid, or was it a gas giant? I just couldn't understand how you could push a planet. You can't push the Earth. You can't just.
Look, Miss Nitpicky Cat. I'm not even talking about
if you
physics.
Want to nitpick, that okay, bothered me because another planet cannot come within that range of Earth and not have, you know, an effect on the water, fault line, stuff
okay,
like
excuse
that.
Excuse me. I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt because you always go off on me. If you want to talk physics, Miss Cat, if you want to nitpick about
just
that.
Just on that.
After he has pushed the dark side planet away and he turns to look towards the sun and his hair is blowing, and he's in space, people. That I am letting that go. I am not even going there on the physics of a planet coming that close to me. I'm letting that go.
I don't care
I'm
about the physics
saying,
of it, really. Yeah, it's just to point it out. That is the fun of talking about science fiction.
Listen,
I don't really care.
That ain't fun. That is not fun. That is a violation.
Funny. That's funny.
All I am saying is...
Everything else was quiet. Maybe he has Krypton hair, and it does that when it goes in outer space.
Krypton hair waves in the space breeze is what you're telling me.
You know what I'm saying? How do asteroids get there? There has to be a breeze.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, send your letters to Cat on that one. The physicists, you will be able to.
No. Just let it go.
So, I'm not even nitpicking on the physics. I'm gonna let all of that go.
Yeah,
I am
you can't really do that in a show like this. Oh,
I am.
God can't be powered by the yellow sun.
Did such a great job of bringing in the power of heroes over the past two seasons. I mean, come on, remember the bullet time? What literally the only action that we had in the finale? Green Lantern shot three arrows at the same time, and he pushed the planet away. Bam! That was it. That was the sum of the action in the finale.
So excuse me. So the dark side was Lionel Luthor, and then what now?
No, he just inhabited Lionel for that. And you
sufficiently scared by this because it wasn't tangible enough.
That please, of course not. No. No, that was so. Listen, so on the one side, I mean, you have got the inertia of the sentiment that I have for Smallville. Okay, I love these guys, they've done 10 years of great television. Thank you. I love it. Thank you. But for the finale, I'm just saying they have done for the past two seasons, the level of action and effect. I mean, geez, the bullet time they've been able to bring down on Smallville.
You know, my favorite was when his face went through that mirror.
Through the glass. Thank you. I'm thinking about that one where the shot where they had Green Lantern, Black Canary, who was it? They were in the Lex Luthor mansion, and they all had that standoff, and they all fired at the same time. Mm-hmm. And Clark, you know, flies in, and he's got to stop the arrows, stop the bullets, push people down. I mean, come on, they showed us. They are masters of the technology necessary to kick off some awesome effects. They were beautiful, the stuff they've been able to do. Martian Manhunter, where were these people?
That he was
in the finale. He was what? Huh?
Mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, mentioned. So I'm really thinking that they are honing their skills, you know, they're sharpening the blades so that what we would see in the finale was going to be a combination of all of the sentiment that has come throughout the history of the series and the final, you know, kick ass that they've been able to muster in the past two seasons. And I was a little underwhelmed. What really bugged me. So, okay.
Man, we're going to really get emails about this.
I'm sorry. Look, I'm trying to look. I'm telling you, I love it. And I'm clearly saying this is not a knee jerk reaction to what kind of stuff I'm saying. Cat, why they had to have three flashbacks in the finale. Three flashback scenes.
That was a big flashback montage.
Three of them. We are your fans. We know why we like your series. You do not have to remind. What did I say?
It was sweet.
What did I say? when he's hanging there and he's finally reconciling with Jor-El, right? He's chilling in the fortress. What did I say? I said, well, apparently Jor-El has the complete DVD collection just like I do, because we are watching the entire history of Smallville on the Crystals. The scene was about 45 seconds. 45 seconds. And like I said, that was the third montage that they had shown in this finale. Come on, guys. Come on. You could have thrown some action in there. Give me something. So,
it's supposed to be sentimental, you know.
Oh, it was sentimental.
Lois and Clark's story is always about love. I mean, I wanted more. I wanted the heroes to come in. I wanted to be their big kick-ass event. But the problem they did was they built up Darkseid instead of building up a legion of people to fight. And so we just kind of didn't get that big heroic fighting standoff thing that
the villains that we had for the finale. Let's see, we had
Granny.
We had Granny. We had Zombie Lionel.
Yes.
Zombie Lionel. And we had, what's his name? The other guy that was, yeah. Oh, random dude with the eyes. You know, it was like, he just showed up in an episode and a half before.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's that guy. And then, okay.
So, I mean, come on.
Granny,
all the great
guys.
You got to take us out with the Granny. It's cool. I mean, who is consistent with Darkseid? I mean, fans know that makes sense. But come on, yeah, you got to bring us some more than that. So these are my beefs regarding the finale.
But then the thing is that this very sweet scene between Clark and Lois, between the door, it was a little long, but. It was them, you know, having cold feet about getting married, you know, both of them, and their vows were very sweet. And I really kind of liked the way that they communicated between the door. I thought it was very sweet, you know. Yeah.
Yes, that was quite lovely. And again, that could have been, you know, that scene by itself would have been fine. But, you know, we have done so much other wedding stuff in the first hour, 10 minutes of the finale that scene was done well and was beautiful, but that on top of everything else is what I'm saying. I'm like, come
yeah,
on.
You got to see Chloe, she made her little final exit, and I thought that was cool. I really felt the goosebumps when Clark got his suit.
Yeah, finally
he put it in his suit. He did the somebody has a nice Twitter icon to where he's stripping.
I would not say
stripping. And got
stripping.
Yeah, you're stripping, and you got on a Superman costume underneath.
I was
like, take it off.
All right, now I was simply going to work. That's all. That's just me on the way to work. I have my little homage to Smallville.
I'm gonna put that picture. And on, you know, because like on your iPod where you have the picture when the podcast plays and you can see the picture, and yeah. That's where it's going, buddy.
Oh, don't do it. Don't
that's where
do
it's going,
it.
Pal.
Oh,
everybody, look down right now. Look at Carl. He's
you are killing me, woman. You're killing me. I just want to give it a little homage. A little homage.
It was a very sweet picture. I was like, wow, that looks great.
All right.
Handsome, man, you're handsome.
Thank you, baby. Thank you. You're Wonder Woman, too.
Yeah. Oh, God. Tarnished soul.
And you're a brunette. You're a brunette, too.
Yeah, total brunette, so I don't think that would work.
Hey! You could be coming from South.
Where is she from? Amazon, yeah.
Amazonia, yes. Yeah.
Anyway. But I don't know. I thought it was very sweet to see him. You know, I wanted more flying because they've been waiting, you know, letting us wait on the flying for the whole
ten years.
Just wasn't enough flying for me.
Nope.
Just not enough flying there. I wanted to see him fly around the planet backwards. Didn't get to see that. I, you know, didn't expect to, but I thought, you know, maybe we'd have to. That didn't work out.
I just wanted to see more hero carnage. That's it.
Yeah, but you know, honestly, you know, at the final hour, I didn't expect too much. What we got was very decent. I, you know, shed a tear, got a little misty eyed.
I was digging all the father son going on with Smallville. You know, Jor-El and
yeah, Snyder. I liked it, but it was a little too much. But they could have came back on it a little bit and put in some other stuff. But you know.
Well, of course, that's the whole finale. 2 hours of sentiment.
But really, it's full circle because that's what this show started off as. So, I mean, we should have expected that.
You see, here you go again. Here you go.
It came with a Dawson Creek and it kind of ended on that note, and that's full circle.
It doesn't have to. It could be more than it started with.
I don't know why it wasn't, though. I mean, it seemed like they kind of phoned. It wasn't as grand as I wanted, but
right.
What it was, we're talking in circles now.
No, it was sentimental. That was it. Like I said, it was a sentimental, cute ending. I wanted more, but thank you guys. That's it.
Yeah. So, yeah, the people at SGU, you did a good job. Supernatural, you know, you're going to continue to do a good job because you got another season. And then Smallville, great 10-year run. You did a very good job.
Thank you, crew. Thank you. Good work.
Let's see. 3 more episodes until the 100th episode of Sci-Fi Party Line. Everybody who, you know, I'll announce when it's going to happen. But we're going to do that episode live where you can call in. So that'll be very fun. And I just wanted to, you know, let everybody, you know, you sign up for TalkShoe. This is episode 96. 3 more until all the 100th. Right. And I don't know, we're just going to wing it and, you know, get people's opinions and yell at us about SGU if you want. You know, get that out.
But let's not make that the whole episode.
No. That's not going to be. It's just gonna be like, you can call and talk about
it. I can hear them. They get together. Oh, now we're going to be able to find them. They're going to be live. Everybody.
Yeah, no, we'll talk about everything else. And, you know, I have the power of the button and I can cut you off like on Fox News. So that'll be great.
And she's gangster, people. I'm telling you, she's just cutting me off all the time. Y'all don't know. What? You think this is edited? I'll be talking about her and you won't even hear it on the show. So she's gangster.
You know what? Don't lie. Don't lie to these people. They deserve more than that. in the future, we're going to be talking about other shows. We just picked these to ramp it up, to get the juices flowing, get you ready for, you know, all the other great shows we're going to come out with.
We were out of shape. We've been out for like 2 months. So now
it's not too. Why you want to be like that? It was April 17th.
That feels like the 2 dog months then. It's just, so now I'm starting to feel, you see, I'm starting to get the passion back again. You see,
I was weighed down
by my omelet.
I texted him. I was like, you ready to do episode? He's like, yeah, I guess. I got to go shopping and get my nails done. So
I'll talk to you.
And I was just like, man, the enthusiasm is just not there.
I was all out of shape, but see, I'm starting to bring the rage again. You see, feels good.
Carl, podcast of rage. So, some of the topics coming up next. We're going to do a Game of Thrones episode. We might talk Camelot again. Funny thing. You know, we talked about Battle LA Colon, but we also talked about the Adjustment Bureau. I think that the president had a similar opinion to Carl with regards to the Adjustment Bureau. Did you watch that at all?
I saw part of it, but not all of it. So.
Okay. Well, apparently Matt Damon has a problem with the president. He said he's disappointed in him. And then the president said, well, you know, Matt, I saw the Adjustment Bureau. Back at you, buddy.
Oh, harsh. You see, Obama's getting tough now. You see, he ain't playing.
This was the night before the thing that happened.
Or quote the night before. He knew what was coming. So he's like, I'm just going to lay it out. Y'all don't know what's around the corner.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty funny. Dang. That he thought that was a turd. And I was like, well, you know, president, I kind of like that. So
yeah. I did too. But, you know, hey, he's a president.
Yeah. Maybe he just wanted to get it in there and twist the knife a little bit. So he was already trying to be funny, man. But anyway, that's enough. That's all we have on the past episodes. Oh, I know what I was going to say. We're going to go Game of Thrones. We're going to talk about Thor is coming up, Doctor Who, Fringe, Vampire Diaries, Sanctuary, which is Carl's favorite show. And some other things we're going to talk about. So keep on the look, Fringe. Yeah, we're going to, I said that, I think, yeah. Look forward to that stuff. We're going to get a little bit more smoother because we're rough.
We're back in shape now. Come on, I'm feeling it.
Yeah. So that's our show. We'd love your feedback. Give us a sane call at 773-336-2686. pick up your cell phone, 773-336-2686. Go to our website. Leave us a comment, scifipartyline.com. Tweet us, scifipartyline, or at fancyfinbot, or at robominister. Message us on Facebook.com, scifipartyline. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Woo! We're back, baby.
We're back.
End of line.